are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, August 14th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, one dead, 35 injured by an alt-right terrorist. Meanwhile, Charlottesville exposes that the alt-right is just another way to say neo-Nazis and Klan. And it also exposes Trump is one of them, as he refuses to specifically condemn the fascists. Meanwhile, the Charlottesville cops sidelined as they were outgunned by the neo-fascists. Also on the program, as a country, we are way overdue to stop honoring secessionist white supremacists. Meanwhile, more White House infighting. Repeal and replace still alive, and Scott Pruitt's secret assault on our environment. All that and more on today's program. So it's just me and Matt in the studio today. We switched things around a little bit. I wanted to come on and talk about what happened over the weekend, starting with Friday night. Obviously, I think people are largely aware of the events that have taken place in Charlottesville, leaving one woman dead. Her name was Heather Heyer. She was a paralegal who was there protesting. And I should say she was at a firm that specialized in debt relief. But nevertheless, she was there protesting. You all know the, I think by now, I would imagine, you all know what happened. A 20-year-old, James Alex Fields, decided at one point to drive his car. And I want to make this clear because there seems to be some confusion by folks who have not seen the video. And we're not going to play the video. It's just too graphic. And if you know, it's been on the news. So if you want to see it, you can see it. But some people, I guess, got the impression that he sort of panicked, was in some type of panic mode because his car was being surrounded. No, it's quite clear from the video that he drove into a crowd, almost like it was a head-on collision. Many people could not see that he was doing that because there were two cars that were trying to very slowly inch their way through the crowd. And then this guy drove down basically an empty street until you hit the wave of protesters who were just going around these cars and smashed into the cars, sending people flying. And then is when he gunned it in reverse to get away. I have no idea what the guy thought he was doing. Well, I mean, I do. I mean, it's fairly apparent what he was doing. But let's start with Friday night. This was a rally that was called by a Unite the Right organization. And here is David Duke, tells an NBC reporter what Unite the Right represents.
What does today represent to you? And the camera's right here. What does today represent to you?
This represents a turning point for the people of this country. We are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back, and that's what we got to do.
Yeah, so this was a Unite the Right to take their country back. And I think it's not hard to imagine whom David Duke believes has taken the country. People, well, I should say, really, I mean, it's conceivable there was a woman as part of the Unite the Right, but it appears to have been all male. And they were descending on Charlottesville because of Charlottesville's plan to move or remove a statue of Robert E. Lee. And so Friday night, about 300 or 400, I would say, maybe 500 members of the alt-right, some of them were alt-knights, some of them were Ku Klux Klan. Some were 3% Rising. Some were neo-Nazis. Some were just general militia, perhaps. I believe the group that James Alex Fields came from is known as Vanguard America. Blood and Soil is their slogan, which I believe is a neo-Nazi organization. The Nazis, I believe, were Blood and Soil. Here is them chanting, is this number two? All right, this is them chanting, "You will not replace us." These white guys, I'm sorry, these white guys are afraid of being replaced in some fashion. I mean, to a certain extent, it looks more like closer to like somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people, right? And they're all carrying tiki torches. You should know that Tiki Torches, the company that makes these things, disavowed it. But there is some imagery there, right? Of white men marching with torches. They don't have any hoods on, although next time they might think better than that. But here are those same white guys with torches chanting Blood and Soil, which again is a Nazi slogan. Vanguard America takes it. They're manifesto says America, it says American fascism. America was built in the image of the Roman Republic. Its capital imagery and goals were set with good intentions on that foundation. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and our nation is surrounded in brimstone. Now the time for a new Caesar to revive the American spirit has dawned. They want to uphold the natural order that binds them, right? Just an exchange of ideas. Strong social order based on natural truths that's necessary to the health of any society. Here is them chanting, well, Blood and Soil.
Yeah.
So, and these guys in Vanguard America, as they look for their new Caesar, dress apparently like in a Donald Trump golf outfit. I'm not joking. It's this white shirt and tan pants. And so on Friday night, you had these fascist groups met by a wide range of counter-protesters, ranging from, I think, indivisible groups, Black Lives Matter groups, anti-fascist groups, Antifa, and others. I mean, this is a wide array of people. And even though, I mean, I have here an affidavit that the Charlottesville police filed on 8/11, which was what, Friday night. And they were anticipating at least 1,000 fascists attending, members of the alt-right, if you will. And so they were aware that there was going to be these problems. But by all accounts, they were sidelined. And supposedly it was because they were afraid of, they were basically outgunned. We'll talk more about that, but they were outgunned primarily by these state militias, some 3%ers who showed up ostensibly to make sure that people had a right to speak. That's how twisted these people are. We're going to show up in camo with semi-automatic rifles and shotguns to make sure that people's First Amendment rights are protected. Well, it didn't work out so well. Here is a brawl that takes place on Friday night. There was a lot of this, and real failure by the police force in Charlottesville to get in between these things. But of course, you know, who knows what happens when you have like these squads of militia people. So then on Saturday, what happens is at about noon, you have, and I should say there was also, I guess, 100 Christian ministers also protesting these people. So it was a wide range of people, as well as, I guess, a lot of Charlottesville folks who were just unhappy with a lot of these out-of-town white supremacists coming to, and Nazi groups coming to the protest. So you had, at about noon, the fascists basically left the park that they were attempting to occupy. I guess it's Lee Park. And the counter-protesters were marching, and from what I understand, they were sort of, it was sort of a celebratory type of situation where they were marching down this street. Like I say, they were walking around two cars that were obviously sort of like just caught in it, were slowly going through the crowd. And this 20-year-old James Alex Fields rammed his car into them, killing one woman and injuring 35. Here is, this is really sort of difficult. Apparently this guy was from Ohio. And here are some journalists who had found his mom, a woman named Samantha Bloom, I guess, in Maumee, Ohio. And, oh, is she in a wheelchair there? It's possible.
She might be sitting on the ground.
I've seen reports that she's a paraplegic, but I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I don't know if she's sitting on the ground or what the story is. But here it is as journalists break the news to his mother. And this is what I think is, you know, really important to understand. This guy, James Alex Fields, identified this rally in his mind as an alt-right rally. In his mind, he believed he was a member of the alt-right. In showing up wearing the Vanguard America garb and literally a shield that he was carrying. And you can go to bloodandsoil.org to read their manifesto, calling for fascism, saying the free market's not the enemy, but global finance is, all of the trappings. None of the specific words. You could sit down and deliver this manifesto to a Dave Rubin, let's say, and he would just sit there and say, I haven't heard anything explicitly racist. But they all know what they're talking about. This is the alt-right. People said to me, like, why aren't you calling them Nazis and KKK? I am. They're the alt-right. That's the thing that binds them. They are, their belief system is perhaps slightly nuanced and different depending on each particular group. But the common, they share the common agenda. And certainly that's how he identified it. And here is his mom, who clearly kept herself at arm's length from his politics and never imagined just how rancid those politics were.
Virginia or somewhere.
That's what,
right?
Yeah, okay. Charlottesville, Virginia. And again, right now he's just accused, but there was video of him running his car into the crowd. And,
running his car into a crowd of people?
Correct. Yeah.
Did it hurt anybody?
Yeah, there's one fatality, and I'd say 24 people have been injured. Sorry. Get a
vote. My name's Samantha Bloom. I'm his mother.
I'm so sorry. This is a terrible way for you to do this.
You haven't been notified at all about this?
No.
Wow. So this is the first you're learning of it.
I'm so sorry. Was there any indication that this might be kind of where he was going?
I just knew he was going to a rally. Yeah. I try to stay out of his political views. I don't really get too involved. I moved him out to his own apartment. I'm watching his cat.
The human part needs to be.
Like I said, I don't really talk to him about his, you know, political views. I don't really understand or what the rally was about or anything. So.
Okay.
I just know there isn't. He did mention, what is Albright? What is it?
Albright?
Albright.
No, Albright. It's like alternative right.
Right.
It's ultra conservative, white supremacist organization.
I didn't know it was white supremacist. I thought it had something to do with Trump. Trump's not a supremacist.
Yeah. thought it had something to do with Trump. She was actually right about that. Had a lot to do with Trump. And this is, you know, the... To the extent that there's a some lessons to be learned from Charlottesville, and obviously, certainly for the police forces, there are. But there seems to be a lot of lessons that need to be learned by the mainstream media. And for just broadly speaking, the American public when it comes to Donald Trump. Those guys in the vanguard America certainly think of themselves as the alt-right. They are crying out literally in their manifesto for a new Caesar and then go dressing like Donald Trump at the golf course. And, I mean, you know, it's the denial on behalf of the American public in some respects to this. It's been quite obvious. You know, Steve Bannon doesn't just end up there by chance. Jeff Sessions doesn't just end up there by chance. Stephen Miller doesn't just end up there by chance. Yeah, I mean, I know they're white supremacists, white nationalists. I overlook that because they're really good. I mean, you can really write a press release. And here is Donald Trump's response. And, you know, I was watching, I guess, some CNN this weekend. And they had a guy on, I can't remember his name. He was apparently George Bush's outreach guy. And he was trying to make the argument that if you listen to Trump's whole speech on this, and there was not a whole speech, it was a brief comment that he made at some type of event for veterans that he was holding. They didn't cancel the event, and they did not hold the event. They just sort of integrated this into it. And, well, let's... The comment that this guy was arguing was that, you know, Barack Obama, when there was a shooting in a black church by a guy who turned out to be a white supremacist, he didn't come out first thing and attack white supremacy. He waited until he went down for the memorial. Now, I think it's pretty obvious there's a difference between a lone gunman shooting something and literally a protest carrying the literal banner of white supremacy. You know, it's not like you might say, like, we don't know the details of this driver in the car. But clearly this was an environment. I mean, there was a million different ways you could address this. And here is Donald Trump, the way he addressed it.
Following the terrible events unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. This has been going on for a long, long time. There's no place in America. What is vital now is a swift restoration of law and order and the protection of innocent lives. No citizen should ever fear for their safety and security in our society. And no child should ever be afraid to go outside and play or be with their parents and have a good time. I just got off the phone with the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe.
All right, pause it for a second. Understand, he's reading from a prepared statement. What is he referring to? Children can't go out and play. What has that got to do with white supremacy? What has that got to do with neo-Nazis chanting Nazi slogans? What has that got to do with 500-600 white guys with torches marching through the streets in the middle of the night. What is that? What if children are going out to play? And it's all sides. What is it that all sides were doing? Continue.
Agreed that the hate and the division must stop. And must stop right now. We have to come together as Americans with love for our nation and true affection, really, and I say this so strongly, true affection for each other. Our country is doing very well in so many ways. We have record, just absolute record employment. We have unemployment, the lowest it's been in almost 17 years. We have companies pouring into our...
Who wants to bet right now whether or not he's going to say how he won the Electoral College? I mean, the guy's demented, and I think that's, you know, pretty clear, but he will not call these people out specifically. Go.
Our country, Foxconn and car companies and so many others, they're coming back to our country. We're renegotiating trade deals to make them great for our country and great for the American worker. We have so many incredible things happening in our country. So when I watch Charlottesville, to me, it's very, very sad. I want to salute the great work of the state and local police in Virginia. Incredible people, law enforcement, incredible people. And also the National Guard. They've really been working smart and working hard. They've been doing a terrific job. Federal authorities are also providing tremendous support to the governor. He thanked me for that. And we are here to provide whatever other assistance is needed. We are ready, willing, and able. Above all else, just remember this truth. No matter our color, creed, religion, or political party, we are all Americans first. We love our country. We love our God. We love our flag. We're proud of our country. We're proud of who we are. So we want to get the situation straightened out in Charlottesville, and we want to study it. And we want to see what we're doing wrong as a country where things like this can happen. My administration is restoring the sacred bonds of loyalty between this nation and its citizens. But our citizens must also restore the bonds of trust and loyalty between one another. We must love each other, respect each other, and cherish our history and our future together. So
cherish,
important.
Cherish our history. I mean, that's what that march was about, right? It was white supremacists marching down to a park in the middle of the night, cherishing the statue of Robert E. Lee. And the history, of course, that Robert E. Lee represents there is one of the success of segregationists to combat the scourge of Reconstruction and impose Jim Crow laws. That statue didn't go up in the wake of the Civil War. That statue went up 50 years later. It was commissioned in 1917. It went up in 1924 at the height of the power of the KKK as Jim Crow laws were instituted as a pushback to Reconstructionism. As white people were reasserting themselves in places like that. It wasn't about the Civil War. It was about segregation. It was about reminding black people of their place in a place like Virginia at that time. And that is the history that we should be cherishing? I mean, what history is he talking about? I don't know if he knows the words that he's reading. I don't know if he understands the implications of them. But It's not like he's got such a great, stellar race record himself. And, you know, at one point, he's probably got to realize, like, I mean, I don't think there's really, it's necessary to provide any benefit of the doubt to this guy. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he is a horrible racist, but we could never tell because of his policies. And it doesn't matter if he's a secret non-racist or just doesn't feel that strongly about it, but has empowered, emboldened racists in and without the government. And that's what we have. I mean, that's what he is. And understand, you know, this, the other topic that has come up to a certain extent is this notion of him saying the words, right? Him saying the words. And it's been compared to the idea of Barack Obama never saying whatever it was. What do they want him to say? Radical Islamic extremism. Understand the difference between calling out neo-fascists, calling out neo-Confederates, calling out white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and calling out radical Islamic extremism or extremists. No one's asking Donald Trump to indict white people based upon their whiteness. That would hit him. That would be him coming out and bemoaning radical white extremism or radical Christian Judeo extremism. That's when extremists or extremism becomes the modifier of the thing that exists and is permanent and fundamental. That's why radical Islamic extremism is different than calling someone a white supremacist. Because radical Islamic extremism implies that there's something fundamental in Islam that when it's taken to its extreme, you logically get terrorism. And that's just simply not the case. You would never say radical Judeo-Christian extremism. You would never say that Judeo-Christian values necessarily taken to their extreme necessarily lead to fascists and neo-Confederates. So when you talk about white supremacists, it's the supremacy that you're attacking. And the white is the modifier. And so there's no comparison there. And when you're talking about a bunch of people who have gathered protests and counter-protests, and you're saying they were all bad. You know, like this is the perfect Sam Harris tweet that I just saw. Someone sent me. It's something to the effect of, he tweeted out, in 2017, I don't know why 2017 is really the issue, all identity politics is detestable. But surely white identity politics is the most detestable at all. This is the soft alt-right, right? It's basically what Donald Trump says. It's all bad. It's all bad. And then they clarified Donald Trump's statement. The White House did. Saying, quote, of course that includes white supremacist, KKK, neo-Nazi, and all extremist groups. It includes it? It includes it. Well, I think that was pretty clear from his original statements. I'm denouncing all of them. They're all bad. And even when you say they're all bad, and one is actually even worse, but they're all bad. They've all crossed the threshold. But they're all in the pool. Just one got really wet, and the other one got sort of wet. It's the same game. I mean, that's why, you know, when we call out the Sam Harris's and the Dave Rubens, who don't see explicit. I didn't see any explicit Islamophobia. There's coding, and this is the way that they grow.
I've seen them termed the alt-light, which might be.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know what all identity politics is detestable. When you call them both detestable, but one's more detestable, what does that mean? What does that mean? Of course it includes the KKK. Now, of course, Donald Trump won't even come out and go that far. And why is that? Why is it? Are we chasing ghosts here? I don't know. Let's look at what Stormfront thinks. This is on the Daily Stormer. I think it was yesterday, the day before. Right after Trump's comments. Trump's comments were good. He didn't attack us. He just said the nation should come together. Nothing specific against us. He said that we need to study why people are so angry and implied that there was hate. Dot, 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 on both sides. He implied the Antifa are haters. There was virtually no counter-signaling of us at all. He said he loves us all. Also refused to answer a question about the white nationalists supporting him. No condemnation at all. When asked to condemn, he just walked out of the room. Really, really good. God bless him. This is great for them. Because you can be just a Trump supporter and tell your mom you're just going to an alt-right rally. And you can believe you're not a Klansman or a neo-Nazi. A rose by any other name, folks.
You're a free speech history buff.
Exactly. I just care about this country. And then you got the three percenters. Listen to this statement. They released this, I guess it was on Saturday. The three percenters issued a stand down order in response to the violent protests. They occurred today, happened when Antifa and BLM showed up to counter protest against alt-right white supremacists and Nazi groups who were scheduled to gather in Charlottesville's Emancipation Park to protest the city's decision to remove a Confederate statue there. While we support and defend everyone's right to free speech, we will not align ourselves with any type of racist group. We cannot have this organization tainted by news outlets, as they will most certainly report we have aligned ourselves with white supremacists and Nazis. These are the guys who showed up in the military gear with weapons that apparently were significant enough that the cops in Charlottesville were too nervous to engage. These guys apparently, they mobilized to protect the free speech rights of everybody there. Because apparently, they're worried that the cops are going to inhibit their speech. I don't remember seeing these guys at the BLM protests in St. Louis. Were they there? I just don't remember seeing them there. Were they surrounding Zuccotti Park to protect protesters of Occupy from the cops? I just don't remember seeing that. Maybe I'm just forgetting. Or maybe they just, hey, we just, maybe this is an innovation for them. unbelievable. But apparently they're standing down going forward, whatever that means. They're very proud about how they mobilize. Lunatics. Lunatics. More on these three percenters. This is... According to Christian Yingling, the leader of the Pennsylvania Lightfoot Militia, as they call themselves, the show of strength was about allegiance to the Constitution. He said he and his troops convoyed in to Charlottesville early. These morons. They're still playing like Army Man.
G.I. Joes, and they can afford the gear now.
Exactly. They went in early Saturday to defend free speech by maintaining civic order so everyone present could voice an opinion regardless of their views, is according to Commander Yingling. The fact that no shots were fired, Yingling said, was a testament to the discipline of the 32 brave souls serving under me during this particular operation.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is just nuts. In a telephone interview on Sunday, he sought to dispel the absurd idea in the public's mind that his group of patriots was allied or sympathetic to white nationalists. According to this piece, many militia units in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast have mutual defense agreements, Yingling said, because he's overseen several militia responses at contentious gatherings in recent months, helping keep the peace at right-wing public events in Boston, in Gettysburg, and Harris, Pennsylvania, and at an April 29 rally in Harrisburg for President Trump. When his group arrived in Charlottesville, we put our own beliefs off to the side, Yingling said. Not one of my people said a word. They were given specific orders to remain quiet the entire time we were there. Our mission was to help people exercise their First Amendment rights without being physically assaulted. Well, guess what, buddy? You failed. Big time. I guess you're going to get demoted. Maybe it's time for you to do some KP duty. It was a resounding success until we were just so drastically outnumbered that we couldn't stop the craziness. It was nothing short of horrifying. This guy went to the George W. Bush School of Terrorism Prevention. We'll just take a mulligan on the real disaster that was there and ignore the fact that we were responsible for the cops standing down because they didn't want to engage with several hundred guys with semi-automatic weapons. Unbelievable. This country is really effed up. It's really effed up. I mean, I don't know how you send cops out there to deal with that.
I feel like this is eventually going to need a big show of force by something like the National Guard. I mean, I don't know that the Trump administration is going to deploy that.
No. And frankly, it wouldn't have been terribly easy to tell these guys apart. They were all in, like, camo gear. All right, let's just do one or two more clips, and then we'll go into the theoretical fun half today. But honestly, like, you know, we talk about this stuff from time to time on this program. But, I mean, I think we got to spend more time on this alt-right stuff. And frankly, you know, on those who provide the gateway. I really do think that Dave Rubin, despite the fact that he's, you know, not terribly bright, the idea that this guy is... you know, going to the 92nd Y in New York and moderating talks Look, one got to be president, right? Here is the Unite the Right organizer, Jason Kessler, who, I don't know, some people weren't brought up on charges. I'm not sure what charges you could bring up in this guy, but I certainly appreciate the fact that, I mean, look, he already had his rally, right? I know it's wrong to silence his free speech.
How many chances do these people need to send their message correctly?
Right. His free speech opportunities to have a press conference. But here is Kessler, the organizer, at the Charlottesville City Hall. This is on Sunday, right? Trying to address the violence and give his side of the story. And some very rude protesters. Look, I hate rudeness in all its form. They're both wrong here. One guy for talking about the rally in support of white supremacy, neo-confederism, celebrating the subjugation of an entire race of people in this country. That guy's wrong. And then these other people who are being so rude to interrupt him. They're all wrong. Obviously, the guy who is promoting and wants us to cherish the legacy of lynchings and rapings and slavery is a little bit, is more wrong. But the other people are rude. So you decide.
Resorting to violence. Yesterday.
Oh, Jason. Indict. Murder. Now. Fight for murder. Now. For murder. Invited.
I'll be in Washington.
We're going to find
him.
I don't know why the music is in there, but there are other videos there too. Basically, he was shouted down and had to be escorted out by the police. Boy, real embarrassment for white people that they don't stand up unless they have weapons and tiki torches. All right, one more clip. So there was. It was sort of extraordinary. And, you know, as far as I can tell, I don't know if there were people who were doxxed, but there were certainly people who were ID'd online yesterday and of the days following. I mean, people were crowdsourcing the pictures and asking people and publishing. And frankly, I'm a little uncomfortable with doxing, which is when you put up people's addresses, and because that can be problematic, and you're putting this stuff out there for people to do bad things. You're encouraging them to contact these people. You're encouraging them to go to their houses when you dox. But IDing people who are out there in a public protest, I'm not as concerned with, frankly. I mean, that's why, of course, they used to wear hoods, right? Everybody took lessons from Charlottesville that if you're going to be in the KKK, there was a reason why your forefathers did it that way. Because you still got to run the local haircut place and the general store.
Hot dog restaurant, apparently, is
yeah,
one guy.
Exactly. But here is one of the protesters out He was saying it loud and proud, screaming, there are photographs of this guy out there, was, I guess, quickly ID'd. I don't know if it was from some crowdsourcing or just because people were like, hey, I saw that guy at school.
So, yeah, some of his classmates noticed him.
Guy's name, well, here is the report on the local KTVN. This is a, this kid turns out to be a University of Nevada, Reno student. And people are on Twitter like, that time you're the guy who sits in your English class went to a white supremacy rally. Here is, listen to this guy. I guess he was interviewed in this too. And it's pretty amazing how he's trying to sort of like, can't quite draw, connect the dots here.
Among the thousands protesting in Charlottesville yesterday was 20-year-old Reno resident Peter Sijatanovic. Sijatanovic is an undergraduate student at UNR. He told us he traveled to Charlottesville to march in the Unite the Right rally. You may have seen this photo on social media. Sijatanovic received a lot of negative attention online as the photo began circulating. Yesterday, we spoke with him by phone. Here's what he had to say.
I came to this march trying to send a message that white European culture has the right to be here just like every other culture. It is not perfect.
There Pause it for one second. Have you even heard anybody say that white European culture does not have a right to be here? I mean, putting aside the fantastical notion that you could somehow eradicate white European culture from our nation, put that aside. Like, is there anybody you've ever heard who has advocated for that? Now, I will be fair. Maybe the purity of that culture could be tainted. But I don't even know that that has existed untainted since, I don't know, there was at least, the pilgrims started using fish to fertilize their crops.
Well, the like any other culture seems like an appeal to multiculturalism.
Hmm. So let me get this straight. He went down to march in front of the Robert E. Lee statue with torches to promote multiculturalism. Interesting. All right, let's hear.
European culture has the right to be here just like every other culture. It is not perfect. There are flaws to it, of course. I do not deny that. However, I believe that with the replacement of the statue, it will just be the slow replacement of white heritage within the United States, of the people who fought and defended, built their states and their homeland in this new continent as much as they could. And Robert E. Lee is a great example of it. He wasn't a perfect man by any sense of the word, but I want to honor and respect that what he stood for during his time.
The university.
Pause it. I would love to have heard a follow-up. Like, what is that? What is that? Built his state, honored his state. He was, let's be clear. He was a traitor to the United States of America. He was a traitor to the United States of America. He led an army against the United States, right? To the victor. Victor gets to write the history. Sorry, bub. He would have built the nation if it was like that HBO show that they're going to do.
It built the Confederacy? Is that right. What he's talking about?
Oh, no. I'm talking about his Mexican-American War work. He was much better in the Mexican-American War. Unbelievable. Well, hope that guy has fun at class tomorrow. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk a little more about this and about the intense infighting going on at the White House. That's good. Always appreciative of that. I don't know. We'll take your phone calls and... Let's read this letter, too. This is pretty good. So I just want to read this before. So apparently, via our North Dakota correspondent, Matt Lagg, who scours the, what paper was this?
The Forum, Fargo Forum.
The Fargo Forum for stories every day. Apparently a family in Fargo, the Tefts, found out that their son went to this rally. And they wrote a letter to the Fargo Forum. My name is Pierce Teft, and I'm writing to all with regards to my youngest son, Peter Teft, an avowed white nationalist who has been featured in a number of local news stories over the last several months. On Friday night, my son traveled to Charlottesville, Virginia, and was interviewed by a national news outlet while marching with reported white nationalists who allegedly went on to kill a person. I, along with all his siblings and in his entire family, wish to loudly repudiate my son's vile, hateful, and racist rhetoric and actions. We do not know specifically where he learned these beliefs. He did not learn them at home. I've shared my home and hearth with friends and acquaintances of every race, gender, and creed. I have taught all my children that all men and women are created equal, that we must love each other all the same. Evidently, Peter has chosen to unlearn these lessons, much to me, my, and his family's heartbreak and distress. We have been silent up to now, but now we see this was a mistake. It was the silence of good people that allowed the Nazis to flourish the first time around, and it's the silence of good people that's allowing them to flourish now. Peter Teft, my son, is not welcome at our family gatherings any longer. I pray my prodigal son will renounce his hateful beliefs and return home. Then and only then will I lay out the feast. His hateful opinions are bringing hateful rhetoric to his siblings, cousins, nieces, and nephews, as well as his parents. Why must we be guilty by association? Again, none of his beliefs were learned at home. We do not, never have, never will, accepted his twisted worldview. He once joked, quote, "The thing about us fascists is, it's not that we don't believe in freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. We'll just throw you in an oven." Peter, you will have to shovel our bodies into the oven too. Please, son, renounce the hate. Accept and love all. That's a father to his son. I mean, of course, what's missing from this letter is him criticizing all the other people, too. All the just the general bad things in society.
Also, Antifa can't come for dinner either.
Right. And other people's kids. I don't know why he has to acknowledge only his kids' problems, not other people's kids. Really, wow. I mean, you know, if you want to find something encouraging about this weekend is that people are being pretty vigilant when faced with it. And hopefully they will have woken up when those going around saying they're alt-right. I don't care if they attended that rally or not. I don't care if they denounce those Nazis or not. You support alt-right. You're just fertilizing the soil. If you try and pretend that this in some way is silencing free speech, that these things should be explored, you understand, you're fertilizing the same soil. You have a right to do it, but others have a right to call you out on it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll take your IMs. We'll be back in a minute.